May 3rd, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is podcast number two for today, and we're glad to have back Dr. Kelly Piasek of Rogers Behavioral Health. And of course, always glad to have back my extraordinary producer, the mighty Max Martinson, down at the WAUK Radio Studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. And of course, I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I am Don Brown. And my office here is in Banting Park. And one thing I wanted to share, Kelly, I think you'd appreciate is I was working at home yesterday and was just finishing up a session with a client and a virtual one. And the dog runs to the front door. Someone's putting something on the handle and he's screaming violently and barking. And so luckily the meeting had just ended. I could go up and see what was going on. And it was Banting Elementary. I don't know if you know this. They have a tradition every year for May Day where the younger students make paper flowers and paper flower baskets. And then there's a parade of them, different classes that go door to door, putting these baskets on your door. And so I came out right as they were coming by and it was like a teacher or an adult. And I thanked them and I thanked all the kids and the kids are all screaming, "Happy May Day." It was like the greatest thing. And it's a tradition they've been doing every year. The only exception was during COVID in 2020. And I was still on the council then. And so one of the neighbors had an idea where the neighbors, made our own flower baskets and put them on our doors as a tribute, as a thank you to the Banting kids. And I believe we gave all of them to the school. And one of the neighbors was a retired teacher there, and she had a big poster along with her flower basket that said, "God bless my Banting babies." And so it's just a great, you know, like I said, spring obviously evokes a lot of positive things, you know, good weather and good things. The farmer's market opened up today in Waukesha. I'm looking forward to that. Friday Night Life starts in another month. So much to look forward to, but also spring, and I know there's also this aspect of seasonal depression or seasonal, the change of season affects mental health. Do you do much work in that area, or is that more of an urban myth? Or
definitely not an urban myth. You know, it's a real thing. Sunlight is an important thing. You know, you mentioned the piece with the flowers with the students, and I just absolutely love it. I mean, kindness is like an actual treatment for well-being. Yes. You know, I can kind of geek out on the science side of things all day long, but what I can what I can tell you is, it's been well studied that kindness activates the vagus nerve, and that helps improve heart rate variability, you know, so whether you're giving it or receiving it. So, you know, your experience of having the kids stopping by and wanting to return that, it really is contagious. But, you know, getting back to the seasonal piece with, you know, sunlight and just being able to be outside and have a little bit more interaction with other human beings. And that's where, you know, we were talking about in the last segment about, you know, the virtual versus the in-person, but in-person experiences are usually pretty positive. And so that does actually stimulate our brains in ways that actually makes us well. So, you know, I encourage everybody to wear some sort of a biometric monitoring device, whether that's, you know, a ring or a band or a smartwatch or something, but pay attention to that data because there's a lot that it can tell you about your state of well-being. We don't necessarily just appreciate that, you know, what we do every day, you know, or if we make small changes in what we do or how we interact with others, it really has a big impact.
That's terrific. And that was kind of what we talked about in the last, what we'd want to dedicate some time to is what we as lay people can do to improve our mental health and to just certain wellness things. And kindness, obviously, is a very, very important tool to ourselves and to each other.
And our brains are wired that way to really, you know, receive it and process that chemically and electrically. And we don't always think about this as adults day to day, but you know, our brains are basically just this bag of water and fat, really, that has electricity and chemistry running through it. And so you know, when things make us happy, there's a chemical response to that, and there's an impact on our functioning. So that, you know, a lot of that, we take it at face value and as laypersons, but when you really kind of get into the science of it, that it's the foundation of a lot of the treatments that we administer. It's just, you know, how do we trigger the right responses or the preferred responses in how we think and react to things.
Sure, sure. What's, you know, in the past I've had representatives from NAMI during this month, and I'm hoping to look to do so again. And they're obviously a wonderful resource for everyday people. The National Alliance for Mental Illness, I believe, is the, and it was started by some like three women in Madison. And so it started here in Wisconsin, and this chapter here in Southeast Wisconsin that serves us is probably one of their bigger, and they got great facilities, right? They moved from the same building where the radio station used to be on Wisconsin Avenue in downtown to Grandview in a big kind of plaza where they're in the same building as other clinics, therapists and other things. So people can get referred just right down the hall. So you talk about a great convenience and a great service. Mm-hmm. It's really humbling that the type of work that they do in partnership with Rogers to help, to be there for those of us in mental health crisis. But what are some of the other signals that we should be looking for in terms of our loved ones, friends, neighbors, coworkers, where someone may, that could help us understand if someone's in crisis and not like kind of sharing that?
Yeah, you know, I think when we talk to people, sometimes we're kind of in this, you know, two-way conversation, but listening isn't always a strength for a lot of us, right? So just kind of listening to what folks are saying to us. Yeah, guilty, right? You know, what they're saying versus what they're really saying, you know? And so what do those, you know, requests or cries for help sometimes look like? Maybe it's just saying that I'm lonely or I'm struggling with something. And so we have to kind of look for those patterns. I think that's where NAMI has really been a fantastic resource in our communities, because the education pieces and just those public awareness campaigns about what do we really need to focus on. The health standards for the Department of Public Instruction in the state of Wisconsin actually include suicide awareness and suicide prevention standards, both for teachers and for students. And so that's part of our educational programming and curriculum. Right. It's mandated by statute. And so that you know, as we've kind of been discussing this morning, is really just an evolution of some of the anti-stigma work and focusing on, you know, how can we become more aware and in tune with each other and understanding that, you know, again, we can all benefit from some level of support, and we don't have to feel isolated when we have these kinds of feelings. So yeah. I just think as a community, we've come a long way in understanding what all that looks like. And, you know, I think we still have some room for improvement, right? I mean, I think there are, you know, we all like to kind of jump to what's the quick fix versus how do I, you know, kind of right the ship. And so we have to take a close look at medication use and, you know, it's category of medication, or as we call polypharmacy. So there's probably some overdependence on things that we can just buy. And I think that just creating those doors and opening opportunities to treatment and talk therapy and, you know, cognitive thought processing is really important too, because as, you know, as we've been talking, it's not just one thing. It's biology, chemistry, you know, neuroscience, all of that. So we have to be well as a whole being in order to be well mentally.
Yeah, and we're both parents of children that have been in youth sports, and that's obviously such a huge part of American life. And are there programs out there or things you're aware of that, since, you know, a lot of these coaches are dad coaches or mom coaches, anything that help them to, you know, to kind of instill positive thinking or to motivate children in a positive direction or to avoid things done or said that could impact mental health?
You know, I think there's room, there's opportunity for some support in that area. I do think, as I've kind of seen it over the last, you know, 15 years or so, as a parent myself, that that collectively parents are doing better supporting each other and, you know, leaning on each other. Coaches are, you know, our kids look up to their coaches. And, you know, if you're going to participate in sports, you're going to lose. That's just the nature of sports, right? Nobody's going to win all the time. And, you know, I think helping kids and parents working through that thought process of, well, what did you learn from losing? And how do we turn that into something that can be productive? And I've seen, you know, certain youth programs that really have put a concerted effort around giving parents and athletes the resources that they need to be successful. You know, we still unfortunately have the occasional parent that gets a little bit, you know, too intense about what's happening. But, you know, that's sometimes maybe that's just human nature, right? We get excited and we want to win. But yeah, there's a balance there for sure. And I mean, I absolutely love sports for kids because you do have to learn how to take, you know, the losses along with the wins. It makes you a better person, but it's a lot sometimes.
And I guess, you know, closely related to the work you do on the school board, are there programs or things in place for, you know, for teachers to ensure that they're instilling positive thinking or promoting good mental health and wellness? What, you know, what resources are available for them?
Part of the the professional development piece, beginning of the school year, is kind of reviewing what resources they have access to and going through that information about recognize and engage and refer. Certainly in the school district of Waukesha, we have phenomenal student services departments, counselors, social workers, school psychologists. So, you know, I think our teachers and staff do a phenomenal job of kind of, you know, wrapping around the kids. And there's numerous adults that students are interacting with on a regular basis. And so, and we're just getting better at it. And I think parents are also willing to ask the questions or reach out for help more often than in the past. But yeah, it is a part of professional development, and you know, very proud of the work that the district's done around those student services specifically.
That's terrific. So do you have opportunities where you can kind of integrate your professional expertise into the work that the board does in terms of dictating policy, or do you have to kind of draw a line whether maybe a conflict of interest?
Every day is compartmentalized for me. You know, I really try to, you know, engage on my professional side to the best of my ability, you know, delay some of those other conversations, but you can't help it. I mean, school boards are made up of a diverse group of people because that benefits the community and the school district. And so we have a really complementary group. And so everybody kind of brings their expertise and their skill set to the table. And, you know, I've been really enthusiastic about some of the opportunities around, you know, the potential for recovery schools, right? Students deserve to reenter their education, even if they've struggled and are trying to overcome addiction. Yeah. We don't necessarily always have great paths for that. So, you know, I think there's a lot that I've learned professionally and then also in my school board responsibilities that you can't help but bringing them together. And then also being a parent, right? So you're seeing it from all the different angles. And I see it as a positive. I mean, obviously from a business interactions perspective, everything's arm's length, but you know, everybody brings what they have to the table. So
Well, speaking of education, you know, here in our home of Waukesha, we're home to the state's oldest university. And Carol, I remember, has wonderful free like counseling services for the general public that run through the summertime. And I believe year round for the students, I think. And does Rogers have a relationship with Carol currently where there's support provided and resources shared?
We work with a lot of universities in the area. We have a very good relationship with Carol in terms of even working with some of their graduate students and gaining certifications and placement of students. A lot of universities like Carol have some of the in-house services as well, student support services. But we collaborate with numerous academic institutions across, you know, not just Wisconsin where we have clinics, but all over the country.
Sure. Well, and that's got to be probably a challenge or a fascinating part of your work is looking at what's being done at these different universities in terms of clinical or research or, you know, what's groundbreaking or what's controversial that you have a chance to like look at and see where there's opportunities.
When we set out to create the research center, we're not an academic medical center. We're a nonprofit high acuity treatment system, and so we didn't want to compete with the academic academic neighbors. We wanted to collaborate with them, and so I mentioned some of the genetics work that we're doing. We have a biobank on site at our facility in Oconomowoc, so we collect genetic samples from patients who are willing to participate in that research. And, but we're not a basic science lab. We're not doing, you know, down to the cellular level genetics research. We're really looking at the clinical application of that genetics work. So it's very collaborative. We have a research collaboration with University of California, San Francisco, with Baylor Medical Center. We're very proud of those, and we each play different roles in that. That's the fun part about research collaboration is, you know, when you have really powerful teams that complement each other, pretty much anything's possible. So.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I don't know many people. I know one of my sons had an interest in pursuing psychology when he was in college. I think he switched majors, but you don't have many people that say they want to pursue, at least that I know of, that want to pursue a career in mental health, either on the research side or on the practitioner side. Am I wrong in assuming that? Or
I think you're wrong, actually.
Okay, good. Well, I'm very glad, actually. Yeah.
Maybe not.
I know there's people that are inspired by personal experiences.
Yeah.
Like if they have
psychology is a I think a viable undergraduate plan for a lot of students. It can lead to law school, it can lead to medical school, it can lead to, you know, business operations. There's a whole field which is financial psychology. So what I've also seen from, you know, the parent and the school board side, there's a tremendous interest in psychology courses and AP psych. I think it's fun for the students to start to understand how the brain works and how behaviors work and maybe what some of those abnormal psychology diagnoses kind of mean. And so I've seen kids, you know, from maybe they're more on the technical side or they're more on the artistic side. And psychology is just a fun one for everybody because understanding how, you know, how we think and how we learn and how we behave. It applies to so many different areas. You know, so for me, being a biomedical engineer, kind of working on more the product development kind of than the organ system side of things, I understood the neuroscience very well. But really, now that I've been at Rogers for several years and working alongside just some amazing psychiatrists, psychologists, you know, kind of learning how that, you know, that mental functioning really comes into the clinical space. It's just been fascinating. So I think there's more interest than we might realize. Yeah.
That's great to know. So Kelly, any final comments that we haven't discussed in these two podcasts that you'd like to share with our listeners about understanding mental health, mental and behavior health, and I guess what we can do to be better stewards of ourselves and the people around us?
Yeah, I guess what I would say is, and it's exciting and it's also humbling. You know, mental health from a research and innovation perspective is probably a decade or two behind our traditional medical fields, cardiology, oncology, and so we still have a lot to learn. We have a lot of room for innovation. I think Rogers is an amazing resource in our community and bringing evidence-based practice and having phenomenal outcomes. But the reason that we're engaged in the research is because we just know that there's more. And if we can really embrace and integrate technology and our knowledge of physiology and neuroscience, I think there's a great deal of potential ahead of us in this space. And as we start to resolve some of the stigma issues, we have a lot of people, you know, professionally who I think we can serve better. So while I think we're doing some amazing things, and I think the community awareness and understanding about where we need to be is improving, I'm still really excited about the potential to integrate the sciences as we go forward. So just lots of room for innovation still.
Very good to know. Dr. Kelly Piasek, Rogers Behavioral Health, and our very own Waukesha School Board, thanks so much for sharing your Saturday with us. I want to thank everybody for listening. And please remember that not only during May, but good mental health is everybody's right. Safety is everybody's responsibility. Enjoy this beautiful weather. I'm hoping that it is beautiful out while you're listening to this. And again, thanks so much for everybody. And thank you again, Kelly. Let's continue the conversation. We'll have to have you on sooner, not just every year. Because as we said, there's so much to unpack when it comes to good mental health. I want to thank my producer, the mighty Max Martinson, for putting together a great program. And we look forward to catching up with everybody very soon. Bye for now. And see ya!